Hi, welcome to Taco Tuesday!
Live from the Allstate Skyline Studio,
it's the Steve Cochran Show on 720 WGN.
Have no place to go, darling.
Well, it's a morning where we can all breathe again. We can all relax. I know what you're thinking, Steve. What's the big news? Well, the big news is obviously Justin's 16-inch softball team won.
It's nights like last night that make you want to live.
And that is the big sports news from last night.
It's really the big sports news.
Second biggest news was last night, though, right after that.
Lacrosse?
Nope. Proposal at the Emmys. That was the second biggest news. Oh, wait, I'm being told the Bears won.
They did.
The Bears won.
They did win.
It took royalty. Prince Amukamara.
Yes.
With a late game saving Russell Wilson pick and pick six and then a hold off, right? I mean, then
they get a fumble in the next series,
right? And if you don't hold Seattle to score in that last minute, you give them a little extra time. That Russell Wilson creep's going to come back and get you. Isn't
he's tough.
Yeah. So what was the final?
24-17.
Ooh,
was
very close.
Was Sierra at the game?
Wilson's wife.
Yeah.
I didn't see any shots of it. I fast forward.
They did not mention
Dave,
her.
Dave, did you think I was a beverage? No. Was Sierra at the game?
No, I don't miss her. Thank you.
Diet Sierra.
I don't know. Was she there? They never showed her on television.
But I was too busy going back and forth with the Emmys, driving myself crazy.
Did you see the proposal at the Emmys?
I did, but who the heck was that guy?
He's a guy that I believe directs or produced the Oscars.
Oh.
Yeah. So he won an Emmy.
That's right.
He won an Emmy for an Oscar.
Oh, that's weird.
Okay.
Steve, you know I was at the tailgate at Soldier Field yesterday.
Do you know I never tailgated my entire life? Oh, we've talked about that.
Is it because you don't know how to tailgate?
Yeah, I don't know what a tailgate is.
There's a lot of people standing around.
If you guys would explain to me what it is.
A lot of grills.
Oh, Justin knows how to tailgate.
Yeah, no.
Yeah.
He could tell you.
Yeah, good.
When did you get to the tailgate?
Well, I left my house at 3:18.
Oh, Christ, on a bicycle.
But I did not get over to the tailgate until 6 o'clock.
Oh, my God. It's right. 3 hours.
I know.
Oh,
well, I had to pick my husband up at his office, but it was, I kept listening to VLF.
Rush hour traffic.
She kept saying it was Bears traffic.
Rush hour traffic.
Yeah, it was like a special brand. Next time we have a mayor person in, somebody who's running for mayor, I want to ask them about their theory on the express lanes, why
let's
coming in.
Let's get some HOV in this town, huh?
Yeah, exactly.
I'm just curious.
The express lanes have never made sense to me.
Okay, and again, and Mary, you can speak to this if you can. For the last week, the express lanes have not been open inbound at 4 o'clock in the morning. I mean,
you mean when it affects everybody, 4 a.m.
Mostly,
yes.
Dave.
I mean, but some mornings, like randomly, the express lanes will be open outbound at 4 o'clock.
I think that's the explanation.
They need to be HOV. They need to be. It's stupid to have express lanes where you can go there if you want or you don't have to. You know, you got to have two people or more in the car, and that's what they should be used for.
That's like having construction.
Oh, I don't know about that,
that's not
Steve.
What I want.
No, that's exactly what it should be.
Not at 4 o'clock in the morning.
You get yourself a dummy, Larry David.
It's also like having construction on Lakeshore Drive during bear season. That's another one.
That's so
why couldn't we have done that in the wintertime?
Well, the marathon's more important, and it'll be done before the marathon.
Well, I have a photo gallery.
How dare you, Mary?
Of you being in traffic?
Not of the actual tailgate. It's at WGMRadio.com, and I would put it on the Steve Cochran Show Facebook page and Twitter. But if anyone else was at the game or was at a tailgate, if they send me their picture, I will include it in our gallery. So you can do the text line. What's the text line number?
That'd be 312-981-7200.
Or you can email it, msandberg@wgn.com.
They outlawed in Buffalo this weird thing, and Joe, you might know what it is, where I think guys jump on the tables and they break the tables, and there's this viral thing that happens when Buffalo tailgates. The mayor of Buffalo said no more. It's dangerous. Are there any things like that?
What do you mean, they break tables?
I can't remember what it is, but
it's like a table-breaking challenge?
Tackle into the table.
And why would Joe know?
I was just saying sport. Like,
he's not
sports
violent.
Guy. I'm just saying that there's something.
Joe is quite violent.
Anyway, the mayor outlawed it last week. Said no more of this.
Is there anything in the Bears tailgate that is
unique to Chicago?
No one was breaking tables, though. There was a guy up on a table giving his thoughts on the Bears to a crowd of people. Like, we're gonna
sermon.
Yeah, kind of, or pumping them up, before people were heading in.
That's exactly what I want in the parking lot.
When you're walking into the game.
Motivational speaker telling me.
There's a lot of girls. It's very tight space. I'm surprised we don't hear of more burns happening.
Yeah, or gas tanks exploding. That's the thing I always worry about. Because people just leave the coals simmering right under their car.
Yeah.
I mean, can't that be a problem?
Yeah, because they can't pack it up until they come back out.
That doesn't sound like a problem at all.
I'm always worried about the 36 or the 45 or the 50-inch television screens in the back of the pickup truck. Yeah. I'm always worried, like, there's going to hit a bump on Lakeshore Drive. And
this is the part about tailgating I truly don't understand.
They bring the whole
living
room.
If you're going to move your entire house to the parking lot at Soldier Field, stay at your house. Have some people over.
It's such a nice night, though.
Well, you can't say open the doors at your house, the windows at your house. Maybe, you know what? If you're going to move the TV downtown, move it out to your deck patio.
But there's no bucket boys at home.
Hire a kid to come over and beat on a bucket.
Here, if you zoom into this photo, Steve, you can see the TV in the back. That's like a 52-inch.
This is going to shock you. I have walk-through parking lots where tailgating.
Oh, you do? Oh, okay.
But there's a TV behind those people in the back of that.
The amount of effort it has to take to move all that crap to a parking lot at Soldier Field is amazing to me.
Yeah. These people they're pretty incredible.
But it's like a religion. There's people who've done it for generations, right? Well,
and there are people who don't go into the game. They go to tailgate. I mean,
yeah, there were people that didn't because we didn't go in.
That's more prominent in college football. Like, you go to Notre Dame
to a game. I
don't understand
that phenomenon.
And there are rows of RVs which have satellite dishes, and they're there for a week, but they don't go into the stadium.
That's I think the same people that go to birthday parties and they stand outside the party because they didn't get invited, or to weddings and they wait in the car at the wedding.
Might be
that kind of thing.
I think, Mary, you're desensitized to sporting events. That's the issue where you're like for some of us commoners, if I'm tailgating at Soldier Field, I want the whole experience. I don't go to Soldier Field enough. For you, you're like, I've been here 130 times.
Yeah. Going anywhere. I want to finish the situation. You just go. But, you know, I don't know.
I know. Well, tailgate and a game, that's two events for me. I don't usually typically like to do two events in one day or night.
But it took you 3 hours to get there.
I know that we were talking about that. But then
so you're there for an hour, you turn around and you went back?
Yeah, but we get up at 3:40. So
well, your husband doesn't.
No, but I do, and so it's like, well, once if we stay, then you're in real, you know, that point of no return, and so. But it was a great game, right?
Not really. First three quarters.
Won.
Yeah, no, it was a good finish. First three quarters was kind of lame.
Well, the Bears' defense was tremendous.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
There was a listener, Sharon Ford. She's in the gallery at the website. She came up to us. She loves listening every day.
Nice. Thank you, Sharon.
She listens on her Alexa in their house. That's how they listen.
So, yeah. I was going to listen on the Alexa yesterday to Roe, but Abigail and I were having a dance party instead.
Ooh.
Yeah.
It's hard to dance to Roe. I've tried.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean,
well, you know, our slogan,
not even on the radio, I just always try
our
to
slogan,
get in
much more talk, much less music. So we got a lot to talk about in the top six at six.
From the Steve Cochran Auditorium in the lovely Sunrise Hotel, it's time to get your kicks.
Get your kicks.
Your kicks. Get your kicks.
With the top six at six, sponsored by American Weathermakers Heating and Cooling, the 60-Minute Men.
Item number one, rivers continue to rise in North Carolina. Florence is continuing to be a nightmare. I heard something like 1,100 roads in North Carolina are flooded and closed. The Carolinas struggling to cope with the effects of record rainfall and now the remnants of Hurricane Florence because water flows downhill, kids. Physics, water's got to go somewhere. And rivers are cresting all over the state, causing just crazy flooding. Hey, one of the worst stories, this mom who had a one-year-old baby, she tries to get out of the baby seat. She gets out of the baby seat. The baby gets knocked out of her arms and floats away and obviously dies.
Terrible.
And the mom is left holding on to the car, and she survived. But, I mean, you can imagine the shape she's in. This is awful.
And, you know, the only lesson that comes out of any of this is if you get caught in a flood like that, in any sort of flooding situation, don't drive into any water.
Turn around.
Get away from water. Get you see water, go in the other direction. Steve Grzanich, I'm sure you're working at BBM at this point, but the middle 90s, there was 17 inches of rain in the western suburbs overnight. And there were people that were caught underneath the railroad tracks in these, what do you call it?
The viaducts.
Caught in the viaducts trying to drive through. Yeah. It's like, why are you the exception? Why are you the one that's going to be able to go through water that you don't know how deep it is?
And the thing with water is people don't realize this. They think, oh, well, the car's heavy enough. It'll just go on the, you know, it's not a big deal. Even less than a foot of water could make your car float away.
Exactly.
So it's very, very dangerous.
And also, when power lines fall down into water, here's a bulletin, the water becomes electrified. And that's a problem. So, look, most of these deaths, and there's 30 plus now from the storm, are not because people were foolish, but just that's the only thing you can take from this that's any positive, is a reminder not to do that. All right, next, Judge Brett Kavanaugh, the Supreme Court nominee. Pretty big speed bump yesterday. The woman who has accused him of sexual assault while they were in high school is scheduled to appear before a Senate Judiciary Committee on Monday in a public hearing. This is a major concession by the Republicans to agree to this. Instead of just shoving the vote down people's throats, but yesterday somebody got to Mitch McConnell and company and said, look, genius, this is going to be nothing but trouble in October, or I should say November, when everybody goes to vote.
Even the White House has said that it's proper to delay the vote.
Yeah, Trump seemed reasonable yesterday in a speech that was written for him.
Yeah, he also says he's so into the superlatives. So in telling us about what's happening with this nomination, he says that Judge Kavanaugh is special. He's so special. I'm like,
greatest guy ever.
Maybe not the right frame, not the right thing to say in a guy who is we're going to find out about a former sexual assault charge. That's the only thing I would say about the word special. There's a lot of things you could say, but to call him a very special person.
The third person in the room is becoming a bigger part of the story. This is a guy whose last name is Judge, ironically, that was in the room allegedly when the alleged attack occurs, who has become a writer as an adult and talked a lot about the fact that he was a blackout drunk for years. And one of the first places people have gone is to the high school yearbook of this private boys' school that Kavanaugh and Mr. Judge went to. And Judge has a quote in there about how often women should be hit. That's not great for your character. It's not great. No. By the way, hitting a woman in 83, same score as hitting a woman now. You don't do it. You don't hit girls. It's one of life's rules.
The issue about the drinking is going to, I think, take center stage in all of this, because even Judge Kavanaugh has admitted that during high school he was a binge drinker on occasion. So it begs the question, what do you remember if you're that drunk from those times?
Well, there was a 100 keg club or a 1,000 keg club?
It was the 100 keg club.
The 100 keg club. If you finished 100 kegs of beer, you'd become a member of the 100 keg club. Okay. Congratulations. Kind of amazing he became a judge at all. Next, President Trump said that tariffs are on. China said, here's some for you. And the trade war continues. $267 billion in imports. And if China takes retaliatory action against our farmers or other industries, there's going to be more, said Trump yesterday. This thing is completely out of hand now, and basically everything from China is going to be taxed, and everything from our country is going to be taxed, and everybody's going to pay more.
For the holiday season as well.
Right. But the end game, the long game for the president is to fix what he considers to be trade deficits with China. So he's following up with, at least he's being consistent in the way that he wants this fixed. He ran on this in his campaign, and he is going through the game of, I guess you call it Chinese roulette.
I don't know.
But that's the point, that his hope is that the collateral damage doesn't outweigh.
Oh, I don't know that he has any hope. I don't think he cares about anybody other than getting the headline that he wants. But the tariff war that continues is going to cost you more money and me more money and everybody more money.
But it worked in the European Union. He pushed on that.
No, nobody did it to this extent.
But that's what I'm saying. Like, this is not the European Union, but this is the same process, and the hope is that he's playing a game of chicken. He's just hoping that China will say, you know what, enough's enough, let's get to the table.
I hope he's right.
Yeah, me too.
Next,
Go Bears!
The Cook County Board President, Tony Preckwinkle, will announce a run for Chicago mayor as soon as tomorrow, if not Thursday. Bill Daley got in yesterday. When's Bill Daley going to be on the show with us? I didn't hear the Williams thing. Did Williams talk to him yesterday?
Mm-hmm. He was. Anybody hear it? He was on a press blitz yesterday.
Yeah.
I didn't hear it, but a press blitz.
So what did when's he coming on the show?
They were going to take a break today, and then
take a break.
Yeah, they were. Yesterday was a long day. They said so. Possibly Wednesday, if not next week.
Mr. Daley's tired.
Hey, you know what happens when he gets tired? He passes. Passes out. He faints on stage.
If you're tired on day one because of the interviews, that's not a great sign. Maybe something coming down with something. It could be a flu-ish sort of thing. Changing gears. You like tennis? Who plays tennis in the room? Plays tennis. Okay. You like pickleball?
I have. Yes. Yeah.
You like pickleball? Mm-hmm. What would you rather have, a tennis court or a pickleball court?
I think at this point I'd still rather have a tennis court.
Bad news for you.
Why?
Pickleball is replacing tennis courts at Park Ridge, and it's starting to spread throughout the north and northwest suburbs.
It's popular. It's catching on.
A lot of people are playing the pickleball. Yeah.
People don't understand what pickleball is. Pickleball. Instead of a ball, you actually use dill pickles, full dill pickles. Terry Wolf, superintendent of buildings and grounds for the Park Ridge Park District, told a crowd of tennis and pickleball players gathered at the Main Park Leisure Center that there will be more pickleball. Pickleball's been growing in popularity, not only in our community, but across the nation. Why is pickleball fun?
It's, you can play it. It's social, like paddle. You can have four people on the court. It's less like movement with your body and things.
Can you
play it older, longer.
Can you put a TV out there, like in a grill, and the whole thing?
Oh, yeah, you can
do that.
Tailgate at a pickleball game?
And it requires a smaller court.
Yeah.
A slightly smaller. I don't know why you can't have both, though, because there's still an awful lot of people who love to play tennis.
Is this the trend of, like, the mini hoop? So you have the regular basketball, and then at a certain point, they said, let's go mini.
I don't think so. You know what I think it is, Justin? I think that it's caught on with an older crowd in, like, retirement communities because, as Mary says, you don't necessarily have to move around quite as
active,
much.
But not that active.
It's fun, though. On a Friday night, if you go out with couples and you play a little pickleball, have a couple drinks, like, it's a good time.
What kind of loony schedule are you keeping?
I've never done that.
Next.
Go Bears!
Emmy winner Glenn Weiss proposed to his girlfriend during the live broadcast last night. She said yes. We don't have time to play the clip for you here, but we'll play it in a little while. It's a nice moment. That's all. It's a nice moment. The funny thing is, if he doesn't win the Emmy, is there a plan B for the proposal? They walk out to the car. Oh, honey, I'm sorry you lost. Hey, while we're here, getting into the car. Oh, and I forgot to put coals under the car. We got to get those. Here's the ring, and I'm going to ask you. So he made the most of the moment.
And what if she would have said no?
Well, that would be a whole different thing, wouldn't it? That's your top six at six.
That's it!
That's all today for the top six at six.
No more!
Sponsored by American Weathermakers Heating and Cooling, the 60-Minute Men.
The Steve Cochran Show presents The Kid of the Week.
God bless the child.
It is 6:43. You know the drill here. You need to tell us about kids doing great stuff that we need to know about. And you can do that at WGNradio.com. Just search Kid of the Week and tell us about great kids doing great things. Jeremy Morita is nominated this morning by his principal. Jeremy's not your typical kid. He's very busy. He's got an avid love for fishing. When's the last time you went fishing, Dave? You been fishing lately?
I have not been fishing. Yeah. I love to fish.
Can I take you fishing?
I'd love to go fishing.
I know where there's a large body of water near here.
I can see one over your right shoulder and your left shoulder.
Jeremy's standing by on the phone now because we also want to ask him about his fantasy football team and about his baseball situation and tell him he's a kid of the week because everybody's got something going on, and regardless of what Jeremy has in his life, he's always upbeat and happy and stuff. And good morning, Jeremy.
Good morning.
How are you, pal?
Good.
And what's this fisherman thing? How come you love to fish?
Just me and my friends just getting together.
Yeah, so you like to get together and fish with your friends. What's the best fish you ever caught?
Probably my 20-inch pike.
Nice.
Oh, yeah, nice.
Hey, Jeremy, what kind of bait did you use for that?
Minnow.
Oh, minnow. Okay.
Minnows.
All right. I like to fish for Mrs. Paul's fish sticks. Do you ever get those?
No,
that's ridiculous. What am I talking about? You know, your kid of the week, which means you're the special kid this week, the kid getting it done, the kid we're highlighting here. Your principal seems to be quite fond of you. What are you doing in school that makes everybody notice you?
So, on Friday, this autistic kid, he can't talk, so he uses an iPad.
Uh-huh.
And Friday was his birthday.
Okay.
So he asked me his aide asked me to sit by him, and I said, okay, I'll sit by him.
So you hung out with a kid that has had a couple of special hurdles in life? I mean, you know what that's like. We all do, right?
Yeah.
So you don't want to be, you don't want to stand out where people don't want to hang out with you. That's just silly. So I'm glad you did that. If you're a good kid, that's my point here. I hate to break it to you, Jeremy. You're a star.
You know what? And being kind is like the number one thing that the world needs more of.
Amen to that.
So good for him. He made that kid's name was Austin. You got somebody cool like Jeremy sitting next to you on your birthday. That had to have made his day.
Yeah. Jeremy, what do you want to be when you grow up?
Probably a fisherman.
A fisherman,
there you go.
Well, you got a nice start.
Mm-hmm.
You can have a lot of experience. Yes, Dave, you have a thought.
Yes, who's the best player on your fantasy football team?
Right now, probably either Saquon or Mike Evans.
Oh, okay, Saquon Barkley is off to a good start. Caught a lot of passes the other night.
Yeah.
He's got a lot of moves.
Mm-hmm.
Listen, it's great talking to you, Jeremy. We want you to know that we appreciate you being a good kid, so we made you Kid of the Week, and you get Lou Malnati's pizza. You like pizza?
Yes.
All right. Well, that's good. That's a positive. And an Apt gift card, so your family can take you to Apt Electronics, maybe get some new headphones or whatever you want to get there.
Right.
All right?
Yeah. Thank you so much.
Oh, you're welcome. Stop talking to me. Now go fishing.
I got to get ready for school.
Well,
go fishing.
That's it. That's
gets in the way of fishing.
All right, pal. Hold on. There you go.
Do they have fishing stuff at Apt? Because they have everything else.
That's a great point. They probably have a lake.
Yeah.
They got that fountain. You could probably just drop a line in there and catch
a trout
pike.
Yeah.
They probably have a fish finder, like one of those electronic type things.
GPS type
Yeah.
So thanks to Jeremy's principal, thanks to his family, thanks to Jeremy. You know, kids like that who have special needs, who have that kind of attitude. It reminds me of my brother, right? My brother's always positive. You try to find the best in other people, and you try to be happy every day. The rest of us could learn a lesson from that.
And opening up your circle. I think kids, he didn't just stay with his regular circle. Helping that other kid out for his birthday is really special.
That's great. Absolutely great. Ryan Nobles joins us in a moment.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show.
6:52, our friend Ryan Nobles from CNN was on an airplane yesterday. It was nice enough to join us today. Good morning, Ryan.
Hey, good morning, Steve. Sorry, we got things crossed yesterday. I'm glad to be here today.
No, of course. I appreciate your time, as always. You know, everybody's talking, and rightfully so, about the Brett Kavanaugh situation, but there's another story this morning out of Washington that on any other day would be the top story. It's a little deep in the weeds, but it's about the FISA application of Mr. Page and the Trump administration, specifically the president, using the powers of the presidency to release text messages and redacted conversations and redacted documents that will absolutely show sources and methods that could put our people in danger and certainly our sources.
Yeah, this was kind of under the radar. The president made the announcement late last night in the midst of all the news happening with Brett Kavanaugh. And what I think is going to be interesting when we actually see these documents is exactly, are they releasing everything in its complete totality, or is it going to be a strategic release of the information that best fits the Republican and President Trump narrative as it relates to the role of these FBI agents and DOJ officials when it comes to this investigation? And I think, there's some question as to whether or not these are actually classified, whether or not they've actually been out there in the public and people have been able to see them, and whether or not they really tell us anything. And it's funny that you see it as being under the radar, Steve, because I do think most Americans didn't realize that it happened last night. But I wonder if this is perhaps part of a distraction technique on behalf of the White House to try and get people's focus back on this while there's all this swirl of controversy around Brett Kavanaugh.
The thing about the FISA courts and the FISA Act, the FISA judges they don't go around going, hey, I'm a FISA judge. Yeah. This is a top secret court and a top secret procedure. So the idea that this could be the shiny distraction, I think, is a big miss by the Trump administration, because it's a little difficult to understand unless you really get deep in it.
And I think that's part of the problem, too, that so much of what, in fact, all of what the FISA court does is behind closed doors. So the American people don't really understand how this process works. And I think to a certain extent, the president has used that to his advantage, that he's been able to try and sow doubt amongst how this court works to make it look nefarious, to make it look like there's some sort of controversy involved. And I think we've made this point on the show before, Steve, is that the president has had opportunities to essentially break up the FISA court. This is a court that has a shelf life. It requires the reapproval of Congress and the president on a regular basis. And when given the opportunity just recently, I think it was last spring, to either break up the FISA court or to reauthorize it, the president chose to reauthorize it. But at the same time, he criticizes it and claims that it's basically just a tool of the deep state. So it's interesting that he wants it both ways, and that's why it leads to criticism of him saying that he's just using this for the more inappropriate reasons.
Ryan, he ran on this, though, this campaign about more transparency in government, draining the swamp, taking on the deep state. So this will play well to his supporters.
Yeah, no doubt. And I think the other thing, Justin, that's important is, you know, his hardcore supporters, the 35% of American people that love President Trump, are only consuming information from a very select group of media outlets. And in that select group of media outlets, this story is going to play huge. It's going to be splashed all over Breitbart.com.
They're going to go all the way from Fox to Breitbart and back to Fox.
Exactly. And so that echo chamber is just going to reinforce this narrative within that small group. Meanwhile, the big story about the Kavanaugh nomination perhaps being on the ropes is not going to get the same level of attention. And that works well for the president. You know, he doesn't lose any points with this group when this conservative judge may not make it through to the final stage of this confirmation process, when that was one of the big reasons that conservatives support the president and why he has that solid support, especially among social conservatives.
All right. How much trouble is Kavanaugh in here? I mean, this woman that's coming forward is one of two things. She's either honest in telling the truth or she's loony. And I don't know that anybody's going to be able to determine the truth about that in this hearing on Monday.
I don't think there's any doubt, Stephen, if 48 hours ago, if you told me there was any shot that Brett Kavanaugh wasn't going to be the next Supreme Court justice, I would have thought it was crazy. But, man, things changed quickly. As soon as this woman was able to come forward and attach her name to it, and now that she's going to be willing to testify in an open hearing, it's just bad optics on any level. And I think what it's going to come down to is, how willing is President Trump to see this through? The sense that we're getting from the White House yesterday is that he's ready to fight on Kavanaugh's behalf. He sees the accusations against Kavanaugh in many ways similar to the accusations that he's had against him. And he doesn't believe that, the men in this situation should just back down from the fight. So that's going to give him at least a little bit of shelf life. The problem, though, Steve, is that this isn't really the president. He's lost control of this situation right now. And there are enough Republicans that seem to be wavering on Kavanaugh. I mean, the Democratic caucus has been firm on this. And if you get even one or two Republicans, if, you know, the Susan Collins and Lisa Murkowski drop away, and if Jeff Flake, who sits on Judiciary, drops away, then it's going to be impossible to get him confirmed, and they're going to have to go somewhere else. Now, the thing I think we shouldn't lose sight of is that it's not as if Brett Kavanaugh doesn't make it through, that all of a sudden now, you know, the reincarnation of Ruth Bader Ginsburg is going to get put on the court.
Right.
There's a very good chance the president could find someone else, Amy Barrett Cohen or somebody like Coney, someone like that who's even more conservative than Brett Kavanaugh, to sit on the court. But what it does is, you know, the one shining narrative that the president had about his conservative credentials was his ability to usher through a Supreme Court justice, and now that's dashed because this has been bungled so badly.
The president seemed to have some stiff-arm distance, though, from Kavanaugh.
Kavanaugh yesterday. While defending him, he also didn't exactly go after the people that are accusing him, including this woman. And he talked about, well, this needs to have a full airing. Who do you think got to him to bring some common sense into this?
Well, we definitely know that there was a strategy inside the White House where his advisors, and you would have to assume these are the people that are shepherding the Kavanaugh nomination, Don McGahn's White House counsel, and others, who said to the president, it would not help us at all for you to attack the accuser here. And they specifically said to him, you need to avoid that. And you notice he hasn't tweeted about this at all. When he was asked questions about it, he only spoke about Kavanaugh's credentials and his integrity. He didn't talk about the accuser. When Kellyanne Conway was given the opportunity to talk about it, she said that the woman should be able to have her grievances heard. Now, his son, Donald Trump Jr., is a completely separate issue and has, you know, been on social media attacking her and suggesting that her claims are not true. So,
and he would know. Donald Trump Jr., would certainly know. He must have been at the party. He must have taken some time away from his big game hunting to be at that party. What an idiot.
Well, I mean, and I think the other point about this is that, you know, this is, you can't assume that the president's going to play ball because he's been quiet for 24 hours. You know, this hearing is not going to take place until Monday of next week. And yeah, the cable news sphere and the internet is going to have a field day with this story for the next 5 or 6 days. How long the president can hold on when he's seeing this remains to be seen. The idea that this woman's credibility is not going to be put through the ringer is not true. This is she's definitely going to face a firing squad, and this is part of the reason that women in this situation don't come forward. So it'll be interesting to see how this whole thing is handled, and that's why I wonder. There's a strategic reason that they waited for Monday of next week to hold this hearing. That's because the Senate Judiciary Committee and Chuck Grassley wants to see really how firm the Republican caucus and the White House are in protecting Kavanaugh. And if he makes it to Monday, and this is my sense, if he makes it to Monday and they really do hold these hearings, I think that's his best shot of surviving. The question is, does the nomination even make it to Monday and they decide that it's just untenable and they decide to pull it?
That's interesting. I hadn't thought about that, but that is certainly possible. They shut it down before then. Thank you, my friend. Ryan Noble, CNN, working harder than we are, and we appreciate that.
Thanks, guys. Have a great one.
All right. See you later.
There's a tremendous tweet going around that's viral from a woman named Kaylee Jo Gray, who says, a woman is trying to protect us from putting an attempted rapist on the Supreme Court, and she's going to be destroyed for it, and she knows it, and she's doing it anyway. That's patriotism.
Yeah, listen, if she is telling the truth, and it's a very specific memory by this woman, and if she's telling the truth, she is throwing her life to the wolves. I mean, I would imagine she's got some sort of security now. You know, the kind of people that react online for this?
And we talked about this yesterday, but for those who say, why didn't she come forward earlier, she did not want to do. She did come forward. She came forward anonymous because she didn't want her life destroyed. But she has now put her name to the allegation.
Yeah.
And she will have to go in front of Congress coming up next week. That will be a huge circus.
It's 7:02. We'll come back. Oh, Sean Kasten would like to win your vote for Congress. He'll be out today, so will Peter Roskam, as we continue to try to make America vote again. News next, 720 WGN, live from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom, where Steve Grzanich is standing by with the important stories, the stories that matter, and that's next.
This is the Steve Cochran Show on 720 WGN.
All right, 7:15 now. One of the most important congressional races in the country is right here in the 6th, and that's Peter Roskam trying to hold on to a seat, and Sean Kasten trying to take it away. And Sean Kasten joins us now. Good morning, Mr. Kasten.
Morning, Steve. How are you?
Doing fine. Justin's here as well, and Mary and Dave, we're all here. All right, so let's get a little background here. Energy executive at TurboStream and Recycled Energy. You were the boss there, so how important is the environment in regards to the priorities on your platform?
Look, I've spent 20 years trying to do something about climate change, so it's hard to teach an old dog new tricks at this point. The thing that I've been focused on my whole career is that we've had entirely the wrong conversation about climate change. You cannot reduce CO2 emissions without reducing fossil fuel use, and nobody gives away fossil fuel for free. So our whole, every business I was involved in had a mission to profitably reduce CO2 emissions. We built projects, we lowered energy costs, we created jobs, we invested in infrastructure. And any of those things that someone's interested in, regardless of what they think about the urgency of climate change, should be a priority. And I'm going to continue to push for all that, and I think that's something that, frankly, a lot of people would like to see us push for.
Sean, the politics of the 6th District is interesting in the fact that that Peter Roskam, the Republican, has held that seat for a number of years. But in this last 2016 election, Hillary Clinton did well in the district. There seems to be a concern, or at least an opportunity for the Roskam camp, as they say that they are going to go after that the more Hillary Clinton Democrat, saying that you represent a more far left and that they think they can get the moderate Democrat. What do you think of that?
Well, look, the idea that someone, you know, went out, created a business, created a bunch of jobs, has been an ardent advocate for markets, you know, running, you know, competing against regulated utilities and fighting for competitive markets. The idea that makes me a far left Democrat is pretty laughable. You know, Peter Roskam is working hard to paint me as some kind of political creature, but I'm not painting him as an entrepreneur.
By the way, you may want to write that line down. That's pretty strong.
Well, look, it's true. It's true, right? I mean, you sit there and say, I know who I am. I'm proud of who I am. I started out as a, you know, I was a biochemist for a while. I became an entrepreneur primarily because I felt like I had a better ability to affect the kind of change I wanted in the world if I could build an organization than I did working in a laboratory.
This is one of the things that interests me about you, because science is black and white, and there's a tremendous amount of patience involved in science. There's also an urgency to science, that none of which applies to the Congress. Isn't your head going to explode if you win this seat, you end up in Congress, and you have to go through weeks, if not months, of trying to get simple things done, and then find out that, no, your vote doesn't make a difference?
Well, I'll tell you, the thing that scares me most about this process is, having been a CEO for 16 years, you know, it's not lost on me that I'm applying for a job as a middle manager in a large bureaucracy.
It's a true story. That's a true story.
I think, and maybe this is naive, but call it hopefully naive, there are things that one does when you work, you know, in arguably any field other than politics, certainly in the sciences, certainly in business, and you know, I'm going to guess in you guys' world as well, where it is a bare minimum requirement of the job that you make decisions based on facts and then deal with whatever political fallout comes. That is considered exceptional in politics, right? So if somebody says, you know, politics be damned, I'm going to work under the assumption that gravity is real. I'm going to work under the assumption that climate change is real. I'm going to work under the assumption that when every country that has universal health care has better health outcomes and lower costs than we do, we're going to deal with that. And is there, you know, is there sometimes political fallout from, you know, from facing up to truth, no matter how comfortable they are? Sure. But if anybody in any other line of work, you know, came up to their boss and said, hey, boss, I looked at the information and I made a decision based on the information, but Joe in marketing isn't going to like it. Would everybody start applauding? It's kind of a bare minimum. So is it going to be different in Washington? Yeah. But I think that's more a statement about the character of what Washington politics has become than what we know we have to do as a society. Because at the end of the day, you know, all of us have to deal with facts, whether or not politicians do or not. And that means we all bear the consequences of people making fact-free decisions.
Samberg.
Hey, Sean. One of the things that you said you're going to fight for is a woman's right to make her own decisions about her reproductive health, et cetera. When you're out there talking to voters and things, is that an issue that just comes up with female voters, or do you hear that from men as well, that it matters?
You certainly hear it from this man. Look, when all is said and done, I think there are two unambiguous things to keep in mind. Number one, there is absolutely no evidence, period, that restricting access to abortion reduces the incidence of abortion. The only thing that reduces the incidence of abortion is access to contraception. So the only thing that reducing access to abortion does is put women's health at risk. And the, you know, there are lots of good men and good women who don't want to see women's health be put at risk. That is not a gender specific thing. It's an are you a decent person thing. The second thing to keep in mind is that Roskam is horrible on this issue. He has said even in cases of rape and incest, he's opposed. And the, you know, and I have, you know, I really hate the line where politicians feel compelled to say, you know, as the father of daughters or as a husband, you know, I think that, you know, abusing women is bad. But Roskam voted against the Violence Against Women Act, for goodness sake. There are a lot of people, like I said, regardless of gender, who think that is so morally wrong that they are offended to have him as a representative.
You got enough money to win?
You know, I think we'll be fine. The race is getting a lot of attention. You know, I think the challenge that I find as a newcomer, I mean, it's funny, I've raised a couple $100 million for businesses I've run. In strange ways, it's easier to raise a couple $100 million for a business than it is to raise a few $1 million in this world, just because of the nature of fundraising. But what bothers me is that the actual amount of money you need to introduce yourself to the voters and be on TV is a manageable number, you know, and you can do that, and that doesn't really, that doesn't block a lot of people from getting into politics. But when you are running against someone who cannot run on his record and who is so willing to lie with impunity, you know, you have to spend, there's a lot of ads up about me on TV that are complete lies. Fortunately, we've had the money to go and counter some of them. But I do sit there and think, you know, when Peter is willing to basically put something on television that everybody knows to be a lie, I got to spend money to counter it. And that's where the hard part of the money is going to be.
Well, the danger comes in the fact that everybody doesn't know if it's true or false, and that's where it gets expensive, because not everybody is as deep in it as you or me or the process. Before I let you go...
Sure, but you know, just to take the point that you made at the start, that, you know, that I'm a far-left politician when I have never once worked in politics in my life.
Well, I don't think I made that point. That was a question. Yeah.
No, but it is an ad that Peter's running, right? Okay. And so you then have to counter that, which is objectively right. False, but it's a sign that someone can't run on their own record.
All right, let's go on this. Let's assume Donald Trump finishes this term. Is there anything he's done that you see as a positive, or are you running as a never Trump Democrat?
You know, I give him a lot of credit for creating the Me Too movement. That's pretty positive.
I'll let you know when he's working at Zanies.
I truly think that the, you know, one of the, you know, from on a serious perspective, the one of the few things that I am glad he did, and this one, I sort of wonder, given everything else, why he did this. But the fact that he has put lethal weapons into Ukraine, I think is a good thing, because I think that, you know, Russia's incursions into the Near East are really problematic. And given all the other Russian entanglements with Trump, it's a little surprising he did that. But I do think that was a good thing. Beyond that, I think the single best thing that he's done is created a massive amount of civic engagement, because there's a lot of people who are saying, you know what, it really matters. And there is an evil that comes when politicians use the bully pulpit to espouse, you know, all sorts of demagoguery, as we've seen Trump do. There's an evil that comes from politicians who have the bully pulpit and sit down quietly when that's happening. But there is a tremendous amount of goodness in the world and a tremendous amount of love from all of the people, from the, you know, from the Women's March to the Science March to what the Parkland kids are doing, who are looking at the Trump era and saying, you know what, civic engagement matters. And I know that wasn't Trump's intent, but don't lose sight of how much positive energy has come out of it.
Yeah, the parties beating up on each other, including the president, has been a real wake-up call for this country, and we'll see if it translates into turnout, because everybody has to vote. What's the website for the campaign?
castenforcongress.com, castenforcongress.com.
All right, very creative. Listen, I appreciate you coming on. We'll ask again.
Thank you all. Really appreciate it.
That's Sean Casten, scientist. And a funny guy.
Democrat running in the 6th Congressional District.
Peter Roskin will have a chance to counter that and talk about his own record in about 30 minutes. At 7:26, we come back with the most valuable person on the planet.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show.
Time now for the most valuable person on the planet. Anybody got any notes on this?
I got it.
Well, why don't you tell me about it?
Bicycling poet Matthias Slavina. Mm-hmm. He says he is the most valuable person for Tuesday, September 18th. He hand delivers dreams and nightmares to Chicago customers for $45 a month. Slavina kicked off his Chicago tour last Monday, and his final morning of deliveries in the city will be on October 10th. And he joins us online. Bicycling poet Matthias Slavina. Am I getting that right, Slavina?
Yeah, close enough, Slavina.
Thanks for coming on.
Thank you. Hi, guys.
How are you?
I'm good. I'm in an alley off of Milwaukee after having biked around for about 5 hours this morning.
Wow.
All right, so you're the bicycling poet. What does that mean?
I take subscribers, and every day for a month, I write a little dream poem, a little dream story for them, and I bike around, ideally before dawn, and deliver them to people's doors.
Do you have a short one? You could give us it as an example?
Oh, geez, I should have prepared something. But
come on, you must have prepared something.
They've all gone away to people's doors. I have to write tomorrow, but it would be something like you're in a radio studio. There's also a parade going on there, and you have to talk over the parade into the mic through the your entire radio show. And as you talk, the parade people produce huge balloon animals that bounce against your face. And yeah, it would go on like that.
You do this
maybe
every
you
day.
Need to get less sleep.
The dream delivery service, this is something that this is your business, and you do, as you just mentioned, you already put out the dream poems for the day. So this is a daily occurrence. You're doing this, writing poetry and writing these poems and delivering them as pretty much a full-time job.
Yeah, this is what I've been doing entirely for the last 2 years, and I've been doing the project for about 4 years. And I travel from city to city and spend a month in each city delivering and writing dreams for people.
So you're going to be here how long?
Through October 10th. And then I hit the road and I'm going to Boulder, Colorado next.
And how'd you choose Boulder?
There's a little bookstore that's having me in residence there. So I kind of follow wherever people want me.
So do you have vivid dreams that inspire these poems?
My dreams are really boring. My dreams are the very cliche, typical anxiety dreams of I'm teaching a class, but I forgot to wear pants, or, you know, very boring stuff. So luckily my imagination is a lot more interesting.
But I forgot to wear pants. All right, pick it up from there. What rhymes with pants?
A lot of the fun of it is you do this at night, and you ride along on your bike. It's a 1985 Raleigh Kodiak. It's a touring bike.
Yeah, it's an old-timer.
So, I mean, there's a whole thing. It's not just about the poetry. It seems to be that you developed a persona, and even in the delivery of the poetry.
Yeah, it's kind of combining the things that I love most in life, which is biking around cities when they're empty and it's just me and the coyotes and the ghosts, and then writing weird stuff all day long.
Now, you can sign up. You can subscribe and sign up for nightmares as well. So he'll give you both ends of this. And I'm not kidding. You will. So for people that want to subscribe to you and want you to come around, what do you do?
There is a website, dreamdeliveryservice.com, and subscribers can either sign up for in-town with the bike delivery or out-of-town with mail delivery. And, there's more information and links to examples and such.
You seem like a fabulously mellow, decent human being, or that's your cover and you're casing joints for burglaries. One of those two things.
One of the two.
I had, when I was in Buffalo, a cop stopped me one night and, you know, I was looking suspicious. And I explained what I do, and he just got so confused that he left.
He said, yeah, go ahead. It's fine. Yeah. I don't want to deal with it. Matthias, thank you. Matthias, thank you. You are the most valuable person on the planet, and give Matthias new bike tires or something.
Thanks, Matthias.
All right, let's do this. Headlines right after this on 720 WGN.
This is the Steve Cochran Show on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
It's Elise Glink, thinkglink.com. And Elise joins us now. Which line? Line 7, everybody. Check line 7 at home. Good morning, Elise. How are you?
Good morning, Steve. Doing fine, thanks.
And thinklink.com is where we go for all financial information from you. What will I find there this morning?
Oh, this morning you might find something about the jobs landscape and how things are changing. I was at HR Tech last week in Las Vegas, learning about all kinds of new technologies that are changing the way that we work and the way companies work with us.
So tech is going to take my job. How soon? How soon will a robot do this show?
I thought it already had changed. No?
Yeah. No, actually, I'm a robot.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
So it's interesting. The jobs are coming for some things that you would have assumed, right? Data analytics and scientists and AI and machine learning specialists and that kind of stuff. But it's also coming for things like cheeseburger flippers. It's National Cheeseburger Day, by the way, just as an aside.
I'm a big cheeseburger fan.
Yeah, what not to like, right? Mm-hmm. But, you know, using technology to wash dishes, flip burgers, and fix cars, things like that, that's sort of the next wave that's coming along the path.
Elise, you would think just by hearing that would be all automatic and that would be robots and people be losing jobs and jobs would be eliminated, not created. So take us through the logic of how jobs are created.
Right. So it's interesting. The World Economic Forum, which is, of course, all about improving the state of the world, launched their 2018 jobs view. And what they did is they looked out 4 years at the jobs landscape. So this is what their prediction is for the next 4 years, very short term. And they expect that 75 million jobs will go away due to technology. So things like data entry clerks and accounting and bookkeeping, right? Administrative and executive secretaries, assembly line and factory workers, even accountants, lawyers. However, 133 million jobs will be created in that same period of time. So net of about 50, 60 million jobs in these new different areas will emerge. And so they want people to be encouraged because this is kind of a short-term bump that they see of job creation due to technology. Because as robots come in to flip the burgers, somebody else is going to have to be there to do six other jobs in order to make that happen, which is exciting.
Well, it's exciting and it's dangerous and it's scary and it's positive and it's negative. It's all of those things. So what are you telling people this morning? Get out there and become a robot as fast as you can?
Actually, my message to people based on what I saw last week at HR Tech in Las Vegas is be prepared to learn new skills, right? Because you know, somebody's going to have to help work with these robots, program them, train them, install them, test them, make sure that they work. And there's opportunities there for people who are willing to learn skills and things that they maybe weren't so comfortable with before. So, for example, manual dexterity skills, you know, things that require endurance and precision or even memory or spatial abilities, that's going away in terms of skills outlook. But what's growing are analytical thinking, innovation, creativity, design, critical thinking, problem solving. So things that require higher levels of education. And so my message to you is hit the books.
And I would say, Elise, that you should count on doing continuing education your entire career, because this is the change right now, but in 2 years there'll be another change, right? And another change. It's not just the 4 years of college and then you're set.
Yeah, the World Economic Forum is actually estimating that, that the typical worker will need over 100 hours of continual education just to keep up with all the different changes. And that's not 100 hours a year, although maybe it is in another 10 years, but it is about deciding what you want to do. And one of the most interesting things over the last 10 years to me is the emergence of all of these code academies. So anybody can learn to code, sometimes for free or very low cost online. And you can learn enough in 8 weeks, 16 weeks to get a job that pays you $60,000, $70,000, $80,000 a year if you're good at it. And that's actually remarkable. It's an incredible democratization of what I would say is the new middle class, opportunities that will actually pay enough for people to live.
Yep, you can invent your own future right now online and just allow your mind to be creative and, you know, make sure you have the energy to chase your dreams. How about that, huh? Mm-hmm. Not the only...
Wow,
there's a
look
poet,
at you.
There's a poet 20 minutes ago. Look, I got him with him right there. There once was a man from Nantucket. All right, Elise, thinklink.com.
You bet.
See ya. Thanks, Liz. With Peter Roskam in a moment. What's coming up at 8 o'clock? And, oh, and by the way, Steve,
yes,
as always, Elise Glink, when she's on this show, is sponsored by Grandview Homes.
This is 720 WGN Chicago.
It is 7:55, and Congressman Peter Roskam would like to be reelected. If you'd like to vote for him, he'd appreciate it. Morning, Congressman. How are you?
Hey, Steve. Good to be with you. Thanks for having me on.
Nice to talk to you again. I don't know if you heard Sean Kasten a few minutes ago, but he said some things about you we'd like to throw back at you in a second. But first, let's talk about the basics. Seniority in Congress. How important is it, and is it a pitch to reelect you?
I haven't made the pitch directly. It's a significant thing. Congress is a seniority-driven institution, but that's not to say that you don't need new blood, which you do. I've demonstrated a capacity in the past to work with people on both sides of the aisle to bring them together in a way that's very different than what my opponent has proposed. He's really embraced the politics of ridicule and the politics of putting people down. And I'm of the view that our district is not interested in that type of thing. They want to see people going to D.C. with less drama, not more drama.
I know you've talked a lot about Kasten, and or at least people representing you have talked about Kasten being a puppet of Madigan. What about people that say you're a puppet of Trump?
I've demonstrated a capacity to push back against Donald Trump. When he came out and he said he wanted to cut Great Lakes funding by 95%, I not only went to Scott Pruitt, then the EPA administrator, and told him we weren't going to do it, but I worked again with both sides of the aisle to get all of the money restored. When Donald Trump did the child separation policy at the border, I was one of the first people to come out publicly and to criticize that. In the White House, I spoke to the president about how he mishandled Vladimir Putin in Helsinki. I stood up against him on cutting CHIP funding, that is, children's health insurance.
Right.
By contrast, Sean Kasten just signed a joint fundraising agreement with Mike Madigan. Mike Madigan is not good for the 6th District of Illinois. He is not good for the suburbs. His capacity to hold power in Illinois is breathtaking. And what we don't need is somebody who's centered into a joint fundraising agreement with Madigan.
Congressman, the national media, as well as the both the DNC and even the RNC have really looked at the 6th as a belt. This is a race that is winnable for Democrats. How do you take that, the idea that the DNC and national media and others are pointing to the 6th district as being vulnerable for Republicans and for your reelection?
I've never underestimated anybody who puts their name on the ballot. And I remember I heard all this before when Tammy Duckworth was the nominee in the 6th congressional district. George W. Bush was not a popular president. The Iraq War was not popular. Tammy was a phenomenon based on her personal experience and her sacrifice in the war. And we were able to come out and win that race back in 2006. I've won races that Barack Obama won in that district. I've won when Hillary Clinton was on the top of the ticket. And so this is familiar territory to me. And it really comes down to a contrast of views on taxes. I mean, my opponent has said he wants to raise all the tax rates. He wants to put on a gas tax, put on a carbon tax, take the limits off of payroll taxes. And I'm a tax fighter by contrast. He stood with Mike Madigan, in fact, in opposing a property tax freeze, which would really help the 6th District. He said he's for J.B. Pritzker's progressive income tax, which has a huge target on the backs of the 6th District. That's not what we need. So that's one difference. And the other difference is a difference in style. And what Sean has done is he goes out and he just puts people down. So he's, you know, the irony is he's a critic of Donald Trump, but he's emulating Donald Trump in embracing the politics of ridicule. That's not what the 6th District needs. He called Republican donors morons. He said the Republican Party is the party of pedophiles. He mocks bipartisan work on putting votes together around the opioid crisis. He said that's just all BS. It's not BS. It's good work that's done. And what we need in the 6th District is somebody who can work across the aisle and not ridicule people on the other side of the aisle. Georgetown University's center, the Lugar Center, evaluated all the members of Congress across the spectrum, and they said, I am the most bipartisan member of the Illinois congressional delegation, and they said I'm one of the top 25 most bipartisan members in the country.
Well, we need more of that nonetheless. The tax overhaul plan that you were a big part of putting together, it has certainly helped in regards to business and business development, and the markets are roaring. I don't run into a lot of people, regular folks, who are making a lot more money in their paychecks. Why am I not seeing more of that?
I think you are seeing a lot more of that.
Well, I'm not.
I'm seeing a lot more of that.
I'm not. I'm telling you personally, Congressman, I'm telling you personally, anecdotally, people I talk to,
yeah,
including people that work at this building, just are not seeing it. So is there a trickle-down that's taking longer? Why not?
I don't think it's a trickle-down. I think that the anecdotes are wrong. I think that the data is showing that people have bigger paychecks, and that's what the studies are showing. And the manifestation of that is look at the way the economy is working. Economies don't work and thrive unless they're thriving holistically. So workers are getting more money. Their bottom lines are going up. Wages are growing, according to the latest study. CNBC had a study out 10 days ago that said wage growth was up. So I think the anecdotes are wrong. I think the nature of the economic movement is significant. And throughout the 6th District, Steve, we've got manufacturers. And according to the national groups, the highest manufacturing confidence level within the past 20 years. You've got small businesses, the National Federation of Independent Business, which is a bunch of the Main Street businesses. Their level of confidence is at the highest level.
But Congressman, I have no doubt you're seeing all of those numbers. I have no doubt you're seeing all those statistics. Outside the Beltway, in the real world, in the 6th District, it is not a holistic economy. I'm not saying people may not be benefiting. I'm giving you the benefit of the doubt that maybe I'm just talking to the wrong people. But the people aren't lying. There are two economies in this country, and the Dow does not represent the average American, nor does the S&P. So we need to recognize that, and you guys in Washington need to realize that as well.
Look, I'll stipulate that, but here's the point. When the tax, the standard deduction now is $24,000 for a husband and wife. So the first $24,000, they're not paying any taxes on. All the rates came down. The child tax credit has been doubled, and it has been extended up. It used to cut off at about $100,000. Now it extends up to cutting off at $400,000. So it is, I'm not trying to argue, but I'm trying to say, look, the data is that there is tax relief here. And my experience going out to all these small businesses, I was at a company yesterday, and they said, as a direct result of the tax bill, they are now moving to enhance their 401k program. And so it's one thing after another. And I think that the proof is just the nature of the economy and how it's growing.
The Trump question will be one that lingers with every Republican. What's one thing you wish he wouldn't do?
Tweet. He should just throw the Twitter feed away. It's not helpful. It is a distraction. And the sooner he would do that, the better off we'd be. But he's not going
to
do it.
All right. And in regards to Brett Kavanaugh, where are you? I mean, I know it's the Senate side versus the House side, but
yeah,
opinion-wise.
Right. The Senate needs to hear the professor's testimony. And they need to hear from Judge Kavanaugh, and they need to weigh it out and make a decision. But they have to hear her testimony.
Here's the story from texters. Just quickly, folks are saying that property taxes in this state are killing us. You can only have limited effect over that, but what can you do from Congress?
Well, I can give voice to standing up for a property tax freeze, and my opponent has said he's against that. That's the first thing. The second thing is to continue to try and drive an economy where more money is coming in based on the revenue growth. The state of Illinois, ironically, has benefited in the first half of this year by more revenues coming into the state coffers based on revenue growth and more activity and incomes going up and people paying more. So that's the property tax burden is incredibly significant. It's significant in the 6th District. And what we need to have is a property tax freeze, which my opponent opposes.
Texter, my husband gets a pension, and we are getting $300 more a month because of the tax break. Thank you. 847, cuts in the form of deductions pale in comparison to the cuts at the top of the food chain with companies. We have not caught up. Texter, I am not getting more in my paycheck. Texter, I've gotten slightly more. These are all separate texts. So my point is there is a legitimate argument out there.
Yeah, I take your point, but on average, the data is showing, and even those texts are showing, that people are getting tax relief.
So as you go forward with the remainder of the campaign, obviously we'd like to have you back, but people should go to your website to see your positions on all positions. It's separate from the congressional website. People get confused about that sometimes. So what is the campaign website you're sending people to?
The campaign website is RoskamForCongress.com, RoskamForCongress.com. If people want to get involved in the campaign, I welcome them. This is a campaign about world views, two different views about tax policy in particular, two different views about how we should conduct ourselves in public life. And should we embrace the politics of ridicule, or should we work with folks on the other side of the aisle and try and find common ground? And I've demonstrated a capacity to do just that.
All right. I appreciate you coming on. You're always available to us, and I always appreciate the access, and not just for the six, but for everybody in Illinois. So thank you for that.
Thanks, guys. Talk to you soon.
See you later. Peter Roskam.
Now, Steve, right. Just a couple of points here from the business desk this morning. I think what you're talking about is what the data is showing, and I think Mr. Roskam may be a little off on this. Any wage growth that we've seen over the last 6 to 8 months has been offset by higher prices and inflation. People who did get a little bit of wage growth, all of that has been eaten up by higher prices for things that we're paying every day, gasoline, energy, groceries, that sort of thing. So the feeling that people are not seeing this in their paycheck is real because it has been eaten up, and that's what the data is showing.
And we really haven't gone through the tax cycle yet of people filing their taxes and seeing what difference that makes. So that's a question that remains to be seen, right?
It's possible that people may have too much being withheld, and at the end of the year when they go to do their taxes, they'll have a nice little gift there. But for most people, they're really not seeing the kind of take-home bonus that I think everybody thought they would see.
Appreciate that. Coming up, Stories of Matter, more with Steve from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom on WGN Radio.
Ladies and gentlemen,
Dean Richards joins us from Channel 9.
Citizens of the world,
some of the world's greatest entertainers are here tonight.
Ladies and gentlemen, may I present to you?
And tonight, guess what? It's going to be Dean.
Yeah, honey.
Good morning, Dean, and welcome to Moron Entertainment.
Morning after the Emmy Awards.
Sponsored by Brand New Smile Dental Implant Center. Of course, the big news is Justin's 16-inch softball team won last night. The second biggest news is the Emmys, and then the Bears won.
Last night, they kept, how annoying it is on some award shows where, people come up on the stage and they talk about political stuff
or,
stuff like that. Last night, almost everybody, congratulations to Justin and his softball team.
Yeah, well, this is what happens when
you
live a life.
Very tedious.
You live a
completely tedious.
You're an athlete like me.
Yeah. Dean, at one point, he had Miles on the bench with him, his son Miles, and Miles was trying to talk to him, and Justin had to say, "Hey, you know what? I'm really trying to focus on this game here."
Wow.
I saw a picture of Miles. I saw a picture of Miles. He looked like a hostage. Yeah. He looked like he was reading a statement to a hostage video.
He's got a future of cheerleading, no doubt about it. He was a great hype man.
This is a couple of years of therapy right there.
Here's what's coming up. Dean's wife, Betty White, honored an onstage wedding proposal at the Emmys. Julie Chen is looking for work. Kanye's coming back.
What?
And Bradley Cooper's hanging out with Dean. All of that. All of that coming up.
That's a lot.
That's a lot. Stand by.
That's more on entertainment.
That's more on entertainment.
You'll be calling his name. Oh, 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 oh. Dean Richards, the entertainment editor. Channel 9 and 7.
All right, back to Dean. Much to do here. How is Bradley Cooper?
Bradley Cooper is super nice.
Delightful.
Really nice. We've been talking with Bradley Cooper for many years. I actually went back and I was trying to find the earliest interviews that I did with him. And it turns out it was like 2005 for the movie Wedding Crashers.
Sure.
He had a small part. That was Vince Vaughn's movie.
Right.
And he had a small part in it. He now is very well could be an Academy Award winning actor and director for this new movie that's going to be coming out, A Star is Born, the remake, which I've already seen. And I love, to tell you that, you want to know the ending?
Yeah.
So, you know, it's the story of a rising young singer played by Lady Gaga and a declining older singer, alcohol user, drug user, mm-hmm. you know, declining. And at the end of the movie, Roseanne Barr shows up.
Well, she needs the work. So
nice from Israel.
Nice of him to give her a job.
She needs work. What is he doing in town again?
He was promoting this A Star is Born.
Okay,
they had
good.
A screening last night at the AMC River East. He did a Q&A after the screening. But the movie is really, really, really great. And beforehand, I talked with him one-on-one. And I believe this is when I was telling him how I was looking at some old tapes of when we first met. I was going back and looking at some old tapes of, like, the first time that we talked.
When was that?
I think it was Wedding Crashers.
Oh, wow.
For a movie junket. Thank you for editing yourself there, by the way.
Of course. That was, I have a daughter.
Yeah.
That was 05. That was 05.
Yeah. Do you reflect on that now with where you are now and what you've accomplished, this movie in particular, of, you know, where you were really not that long ago in your career?
Of course I do. When I think about specifically Wedding Crashers, I think of the things that I learned from it. And the thing that really stuck with me was Vince Vaughn's willingness to go for it. And that was something I still take to this day. I was watching this guy, and I'd come to set and just watch him work.
Nice guy. Always good to hear the people we think are nice guys. All right, take me to the Emmys. Winners, losers, and people that got snubbed.
Comedy side, the big winner was The Amazing Mrs. Maisel. It won Best Comedy. First time ever that an online show won this category. It also won for Best Actress for Rachel Brosnahan.
From here?
Yes, she is from here. Exactly right. Won
Congratulations, Best Carol Debo.
Supporting Actress, Best Directing, Best Writing. So that had a phenomenal night. Game of Thrones in the total Emmy season, including a week or so ago when they had those creative Emmy Awards, Game of Thrones won the most. They won 9 total last night. But the show itself last night, I think the highlights weren't so much the awards. In fact, the show was really kind of flat and not so interesting. But one of the highlights was, Steve, as you mentioned, my wife, Betty White, mm-hmm. who's now 96 years old. She was honored last night.
Too young for you, by the way.
And she didn't win anything. They just wanted to acknowledge her and honor her. And this is a little bit of what she said at the podium.
Somebody said something the other day about First Lady of Television, and I took it as a big compliment. And then I heard her talking to her daughter a little later, and she said, "Well, no, First Lady, yeah, she's that old. She was the first one way back."
First Lady on television is what Betty White was saying.
She was quite funny, but I was getting nervous, weren't you?
Yeah, she sounded a little more frail than we've heard her before.
Oh.
Somebody helped her to the podium, but
well, she's 90 friggin' 6.
I know, but
she was still goofing around.
Her verbiage was I was getting nervous.
She was struggling for words a little bit,
but she's awesome.
She was still goofing around, you know, with Alec Baldwin who presented. presented her, and Kate McKinnon. And I could just tell you, you know, my personal relationship. I was there with her last night. I flew back this morning. Afterwards, she's still partying all night. She's going to all the clubs. We went to In-N-Out Burger right after because she loves a good double-double. And then she wanted to, you know, go to all the parties and hit all the clubs.
Yeah, and then she looked at Dean and said, I'm tired. Not going to happen tonight.
I wonder if that, Dean, I wonder if that one lady, Alex Borstein, wore a bra to the after parties or not.
one of the winners, the supporting actress winner on...
Had no support.
Miss Marvelous Mrs. Maisel. So they announce her name, and she's got, like, sort of a jacket on. She stands up. After they announce her name, she takes the jacket off, starts walking down the aisle, clearly braless, very, very clearly braless.
With a sheath silver dress on, and you could see all.
Well, in defense of her, I didn't wear one last night either.
She plays Lois on Family Guy.
Oh, really? You know, braless in the animated side.
She's had a tremendous career.
Yeah.
So what happened? Did she have a wardrobe malfunction?
No, there was no wardrobe malfunction. It was just when she got on stage, she said, so I'm not wearing a bra. I decided not to wear it.
And it was her wedding dress.
What?
Oh, was it really?
Yeah, she said it was her 20 years ago. It's her wedding dress from 20 years ago. She said the marriage didn't last, but the dress did.
The dress is still here. Yeah. I love it.
Well, there you go. Funny.
Bill Hader won Best Actor in a Comedy from Barry, which we were very happy to see that. Claire Foy won Best Actress in a Drama for The Crown. Mentioned that Rachel Brosnahan won Best Lead Actress. Best Actor in a Drama was Matthew Rhys. And we're so happy that Henry Winkler won an Emmy Award last night.
How is that possible that this is his first Emmy
Emmy ever for The Fonz?
Most iconic character maybe in the history of television.
Go on Twitter and look at Henry Winkler's account. There's a picture of him and Ron Howard.
Oh, great.
So The Fonz and Richie Cunningham were hanging out last night.
That's awesome.
By the way, it'll make you feel old.
I will make you feel old.
God, those guys got old.
He deserved that Emmy. He is tremendous in Barry. I'm not sure about the Bill Hader. I like Bill Hader a lot, and he's a great guy.
Show's very entertaining.
I think Hader's great. I think the show is great.
To beat Donald Glover and company in that category is tough, but man, Henry Winkler in that character as the acting teacher
Donald,
is brilliant.
Donald Glover in Atlanta completely shut out last night.
I don't understand that at all.
They were the darlings of the
what
awards.
What was the controversy with Donald Glover, by the way? Somebody said there was a Donald Glover controversy last night. No,
I didn't hear one.
Okay. All right. Onstage wedding proposal. Let's hear the clip.
This was the other big thing from last night. In place of any comedy or anything else to report that was mildly entertaining on the show, a director by the name of Glenn Weiss was giving like a fairly routine acceptance speech. He won for best directing for a variety special. He directed the Academy Awards earlier this year. And in the middle of his speech, this is what he said.
Jan, you are the sunshine in my life. And Mom was right. Don't ever let go of your sunshine. You wonder why I don't like to call you my girlfriend? Because I want to call you my wife.
So the place.
I didn't ask yet.
The place goes wild.
Hamish, I'm
gonna... you know, because he just, you know, proposes on stage like that. Of course she accepted. He pulls out a ring that his mother wore, married to his father, for 67 years.
Wow.
Puts it on her finger. But here's the question.
Selfish.
The these on-air public displays.
Yeah.
Doesn't that put a lot of pressure on the woman? It doesn't seem fair to the woman.
I also think, as a viewer, I'm happy for this guy. I don't know who this guy is. I'm like, go do it afterwards.
Yeah,
do
it's
it
not the, about
yeah,
him, right?
Thanks,
well, what happens if he doesn't win the Emmy?
They said he was going to do it at the In-N-Out Burger afterwards.
Okay.
What happens if she says no?
Yeah. What happens if she says no? It's a much more interesting video. Yeah.
What happens if the proposal goes on too long and they start playing the music?
They play them off.
Da, da, da,
oh, that's fantastic.
Da, da, da.
Who am I forgetting?
Just doing a little research here. Would Fonzie have been a lead actor or a supporting actor?
Supporting.
So people in his years that won, Gary Berghoff.
Yeah, MASH, Radar Row.
Okay, so he was beating him every year. Robert Goulet?
Robert Goulet?
Guillaume.
Benson. Yeah.
Okay, so he beat him out.
Benson beat the Fonz?
Well, I mean, I don't even know if the Fonz was nominated. I'm just telling you, these are the people that won. So since you were outraged about him not winning an Emmy ever, there, Justin.
Benson's good.
Fonza's an iconic character.
Carol O'Connor was the lead.
You go back and watch Happy Days, there's really not any groundbreaking acting that's going on.
Justin was, you know.
Let us remind ourselves that the term jump the shark was invented by that because of that show.
I'm offended on behalf of Potsy. No surprise, Julie Chen's leaving the talk. Dean's talking about that this morning. Kanye coming back to Chicago. Consider yourself warned. That means the Kardashians will be in town more.
No, we don't know if the Kardashians are going to come with
them. The big mystery, right?
Oh, okay. Well,
she's very firmly implanted in Calabasas,
she's
California.
Mayor of Calabasas.
Yeah, well, I just want everyone to be happy. You know me. Thank you, buddy.
See you.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show.
9:45 Saturday night. You got that Tomasulo thing. He's got a big shot writer on this show that's going to be introducing and talking to tonight.
Yeah, tonight the Museum of Broadcast Communications at the SNL exhibit, the SNL Experience exhibit over at the museum at Kinsey and State Street. Tonight we are doing an onstage interview with T. Sean Shannon, former head writer at SNL, Emmy Award winner.
How's he working with Tomasulo?
We can ask him.
T. Sean, do you lose a bet? How'd you end up working with Tomasulo? I mean, what happened?
He's a good man, Pat Tomasulo.
Okay.
I did lose a bet, but he's still a good
Still a good guy. T. Sean, welcome to the show. You know, it's funny because we were just talking to Dean Richards, who I want to know more about the Billy Joel bit. But, you know, we were talking about the Emmys. SNL won last night. You, of course, won an Emmy in your time at SNL. What's that experience like to win an Emmy?
It's really surprising and fun, as you would imagine. It was, and I had my wife with me, and she was super happy, so it made me a super cool husband, and my parents were at home watching on TV, so that was good. And from the perspective, I was in the back, but from the perspective, it looked like I was standing right next to Lauren. I was probably 20 feet behind him. I mean, we were all behind him, and at one point he turned. It looked like he was whispering to me, but it was just from the perspective of TV. And my dad was like, "Hey, what did your boss say to you?" I go, "Yeah, he didn't say nothing to me." But
well, what did Lauren say? What did Lauren finally say? Because I can picture him turning around and going, "Nice job, T. Sean. Very nice, very nice, very nice."
Oh, good. Well, T. Sean, you know, very cool. He was very nice. But no, it was so cool. And then you can go to any party after that if you have an Emmy and you walk around. So that's kind of cool.
That's cool.
It was amazing.
Have you tried to use your Emmy to get you in parties since?
You know what? I thought about it. I thought, hey, I could go to parties every year. Just get a tuxedo and walk in and people, hey, come on into our party.
Just put on a chain around your neck.
I should.
Yeah, walk around like that. All right, so when you and Justin sit down tonight, you aren't normally in the position of being interviewed. You know, Justin may ask you some tough questions.
Yeah, real tough.
Oh, okay. I won't have any good answers, but he can ask tough questions.
Dude, Sean, here's a question I'll ask.
What tough questions?
You.
Now I'm all worried about
this.
No. What are they going to ask?
Here's what I'll ask you. What's similar about writing for SNL and writing for Tomasulo?
It's comedy, right?
Right.
Kind of.
Like anything else. It depends on the week.
Sarcastically. No, I mean, it's a different format. One was sketch, and then one is a lot of monologue, which I also wrote on. I wrote jokes for Update as well, but I was mainly a sketch guy at SNL. And so, but it's still comedy.
Right.
So, yeah, it's fun.
How'd you get hired as a writer on SNL? Did you submit or did somebody pitch you?
I submitted. 3 years in a row. And they finally got some good taste about it and figured things out. And I got to write there. But no, it was a matter of sending in packets. 3 years in a row, and I had written on other shows. I had written on In Living Color. I had written on Tonight Show.
Yeah, you weren't coming in cold. You weren't Timmy from New Jersey.
Yeah, no,
you
I
just
was
wanted
not
that.
Timmy, which is what T stands for. I was not Timmy. I had some credits, yes.
All right, so you were on. You do the SNL thing. Were you there for the McCain show?
I was there for the McCain show. I wrote a great. I was there for the first time he hosted, and then I wrote something for the second time he hosted as well.
He was
the first time he hosted.
He had great comedy chops, right?
Yes, he was great. I wrote a thing for him called McCain Sings Streisand.
Yes, we saw the clips. They were great.
Oh, thank you. No, he was so nice. Those are my favorite hosts, too. People who were politicians or athletes. Non-actors were my favorite. Not that I didn't mind actors, but non-actors were always just ready to do anything and have fun. And he was such a good guy. And I'm from Texas originally, and I had posters of Waylon Jennings and Johnny Cash on my wall. And he had a story about both guys.
Sure he did.
So charming. And he was an amazing guy. And before he did the Streisand thing, he goes, "Everyone's telling me this is the big sketch I have to nail. I hope I don't screw it up for you, buddy." So,
John Mulaney in his stand-up special had a great bit about being a writer at SNL and what's it like to work with celebrities. And he goes, "Yeah, it's exactly what you think." There, and he talks about Mick Jagger. Do you think is he accurate in that regard that it's hard to work with celebrity hosts and they are who we think they are?
No, I didn't mean it in that way, but they do have ideas of what they want to do so much as, like, I want to play a little girl, or I want to do this, where actors and athletes come in and go, "Hey, just don't make me look too stupid."
Right, I'll do anything you want.
Yeah, whatever, if you think that'll work, that'll be great.
All right, so do I have the timing right? Were you also there for the Peyton Manning show?
I was not there. That was the last season I was there. I mean, the right before that. But that was a great show.
Yeah, when you get Peyton Manning to whip footballs at junior, little kids playing, top football. What do you think of the new new run? I mean, a lot of people are saying it's too Alec Baldwin heavy, but Kate McKinnon's brilliant. What do you think of the run they're doing now?
it's too Alec Baldwin. You can always have too much Alec Baldwin. I think that guy's super funny.
So do I.
So I think it's great. But, I mean, it's always your era is what, and then it's not funny anymore. So my era was like probably Phil Hartman, Dana Carvey. Wow. That was right in when I was watching it every week. And then after that, it wasn't funny.
Right.
I worked at it after that. But it was funny. But then now.
Now, right.
Yeah, I get it.
No, I think the show's great. I've always enjoyed it from, I was a little kid when it started. And I remember my older brother and all his friends coming over and watching it. And just going nuts for Belushi and all those guys. And it was just such an amazing thing to watch. And then be a part of.
Well, tonight you can hear more from Tyshawn Shannon, who will be on stage at the Museum of Broadcast Communications. Tyshawn is an Emmy Award-winning former head writer for SNL who now works for the Pat Tomasulo Show, which can be seen here on WGN-TV every Saturday night. I think this thing kicks off. If you go tonight, it kicks off at 6 because you can get a tour of the exhibit, the SNL exhibit.
Good.
And I think we're on stage right after that. So the Museum of Broadcast Communications, the SNL experience tonight. I'll be interviewing Tyshawn Shannon. Thanks, Tyshawn, for joining us. See you tonight.
Thank you. I'll see you tonight, Justin, Steve, Mary. Thank you so much.
All right, bud.
Thank
you. There you go.
Yeah,
nice guy.
Yeah.
I wanted to ask him why he decided to go with the TyshawnShannon.net as opposed to .com.
Maybe there's a .com.
There isn't a .com. No,
because the .net's funnier.
That's funnier.
Yeah,
.net's
definitely funnier.
This is 720 WGN Chicago.
I just have a second here to remind you that it's not over in North Carolina. If you have people there, we're thinking about you, obviously. But if you're traveling to the southeast, there's still issues with airlines. There's still issues with travel. And if you're driving to that area, stay clear of the folks that are trying to clean it up because the rivers continue to rise. We'll come back. I think CLTV is joining us today, but we'll come back. We got a 9 o'clock hour period in a moment on 720 WGN.
Second and 9, empty set, as you mentioned. It is picked off by Mukamura. Can he get
The great Adam Hogue. Well, let me check with Dave on that. Is Adam Hogue great?
He is great.
That's what I thought.
He is great.
Turns out I was right.
We call him Prince around the office. Yeah. Well, that's after Prince of Mukamara.
Right, of course. Last night, the Bears actually delivered.
Well, a cornerback who can catch a wide open
and hold on to it. Right? Crazy. Of course, whenever Adam Hogue's on, we play Stump Adam Hogue. He prays that I'll forget. Stump Adam Hogue is anybody that calls with any question that has nothing to do with football. If you can stump Adam Hogue when we're done here, you'll be a big winner. Enjoy the game much?
Yeah, more than I enjoy Stump Adam Hogue. You know, I didn't know how to react last night because the Bears were favored in a game. They were playing a game where they were clearly the better team. And then the game played out exactly how it should have. I mean,
wow,
it,
what a concept.
Just, we're not used to that around here.
Well, what's wrong with the Seahawks? Not that I care, but what's wrong with
them? Rebuilding.
Are they?
Yeah, I mean, the biggest problem is that their defense is just not what it was. The Legion of Boom that went to the Super Bowl.
Okay.
They've lost everybody.
Can we agree and that Pete Carroll looks really good for an old guy?
Oh, yeah. That guy doesn't age. It's amazing. Yeah. But as you saw, their offensive line is terrible, which is really what their biggest problem was against the Bears' defensive front, which is obviously very, very good.
Yeah, without question. All right. So the game plan was a little boring, a little snoozy, but the defense comes through at the end. Do we need to open this up for Trubisky a little bit? Because I don't know if you heard this. Mahomes kid has thrown 100 touchdown passes.
I know. It's a new record, 100 through 2 weeks. Actually, though, the 10 he has thrown is an NFL record, which is pretty amazing.
Right.
Look, I think they tried to open up in the first half, but Trubisky wasn't playing well enough. They get a wide-open throw to Taylor Gabriel, and he overthrows him by 10 yards on a play that I thought would have been a touchdown. Then he underthrows Allen Robinson, and it's an interception. And he gets a little rattled, I think, and the second interception came off a tip pass, but in a window that really wasn't open at all. So I think Matt Nagy smartly dialed it back, came up with a different philosophy in the second half, a lot of short passes, get the ball in the hands of his playmakers, really an extension of the running game, those short passes, because the Seahawks did a good job of bottling up Jordan Howard last night. So I think the good news is the Bears didn't really have a good running game. Their quarterback wasn't playing well, and Matt Nagy still found a way to get the big touchdown in the second half when they needed to. So I think that's something we should concentrate on. I've been impressed with Matt Nagy so far, and I thought he bounced back well last night compared to the second half play
and Mary,
in Green
quick,
Bay.
And Mary, the touchdown to Miller was Trubisky rolling to his left.
I know. I
thought
saw
about
that,
you. I was like,
even though he can't go left on the walkway,
he got the touchdown.
You know, one of the things that I like, Adam, is seeing like Taylor Gabriel in the backfield or giving him the ball off some kind of reverse motion, or even the shovel pass to Trey Burton. And that's off an RPO, right? But that, I mean, that just kind of that cleverness and creativity, I think, is what Bears fans have been looking for a long time.
Yeah, although Pat Fitzgerald might call the Bears offense communist.
Yeah,
right?
I guess with the RPO, yeah.
But, you know what? No, to your point, Dave, maybe it's a little gimmicky. Like you have Trey Burton getting a direct snap in the wishbone at one point with the quarterback lining out wide. But, you know, it's creative and it's working. It's keeping defenses guessing when everything's not working. Like I just said, the quarterback's not playing well. They're bottling up your star running back. Well, you got to find a way to move the football. And it's like last year, there were no answers. When they didn't have a running game, there were no answers because the Bears had no wide receivers. Well, now there's all these weapons across the offense. Matt Nagy's finding ways to get the football in those players' hands.
Now, Adam, that offense, for everything we're talking about, how creative it was, it still stalled out. It wasn't a complete package. It didn't feel like a Kansas City Chiefs offense of what we've seen this year. But the strength of this team, not surprisingly after the addition of Khalil Mack, is on the defensive side of the ball. They showed once again why Chicago is defense first.
Yeah, I mean, this is a pretty incredible development, just how well they're playing, how dominant they are up front, the way they're swarming to the football. It's starting to look like Bears defense again, and it's just it's amazing how this Khalil Mack thing happened. I think we're probably going to be saying that to ourselves every single week at this point, as long as he's out there on the field, because he's not only such a difference maker, but he's making everybody else around him better. They're attacking the football.
He made me better. I was more aggressive just before bedtime last night.
He's got that mentality. Now, I'll give you one negative, though, that absolutely needs to be corrected.
Well, hold your negative. Hold your negative, because 312-981-7200, Stump Adam Hogue, you need to tell Mary Vandeveld to go to bed. She slept 2 hours last night because she was so worked up by the Bears. Am I right, Mary?
Oh, yeah. I'm very tired. I stopped watching the last 2 minutes. I go, that's it. I'm going to go to bed because something's going to happen. But and then, well, they did get a touchdown at the end.
So, Hogue, tell her. Go to bed. You'll call her in the morning.
Yeah, go to bed. I'm the one that's supposed to get 2 hours of sleep after a night game.
That's it.
The Emmys had me going, too.
We were all fretting about Roquan Smith. Would he be?
I wasn't fretting.
Well, you weren't fretting.
I was mildly concerned.
Justin and I were fretting about it.
Let me check with Sandberg. Were you fretting?
I was not fretting, but no. I can attest to Justin and Dave fretting heavily.
Well, especially Justin. Would he have an impact? Here's the number 8 player taken in the draft. Would he have an impact this year for the Bears and misses training camp, doesn't play in the preseason? But I think after 2 games now, granted he only played, a handful last week, but saw a lot more action last night, 7 tackles. I mean, can we rest a little easier now, thinking that Roquan Smith is going to have a career?
Yeah, I think so, because, look, it didn't take long for them to realize that he needed to be playing. It was sort of subtle, but Nick Kwiatkowski got benched last week in favor of Roquan Smith late in the game, and they clearly decided this week that, okay, we got to stick with the rookie. He's faster, he's better, he hits harder. And last night, 7 solo tackles. He's obviously not quite all there, but the thing is he'll get better as he gets more and more experience here, as he picks up the instincts. They still had Danny Trevathan handle his defensive calls on the field last night, which tells you, okay, Roquan needs to be out there, but we're not quite ready to turn the whole defense over to him yet. That's going to happen, though, I think, as the season goes along. So I'm really encouraged with the rookie.
All right, real quick, the negative. What was the negative that the takeaway from the game?
The Northwestern loss on Saturday.
Yeah, well, that was, definitely.
Yeah, thanks, Mary.
Sorry.
You're not supposed to bring that up, Mary. So the defense has given up 41 points so far. The concerning thing to me is that 35 of those are in the fourth quarter, and that's got to change. You can't be giving up that many points in the fourth quarter games and expect that to continue to win games when you're playing better teams than the Seahawks. And obviously, you played a better team than the Seahawks in Week 1. And what happened? You lost that game. So that needs to be corrected going forward.
All right, here's your question on Stump Adam Hogue. And I think this is a completely fair, important question. This actually comes from a texter. They were the first in, 870 texter. We will call them back if they stump Adam Hogue. The question is this. Which weighs more, the Chrysler Building or any of the Great Pyramids? Which weighs more, the Chrysler Building in New York City or any of the Great Pyramids?
The Chrysler Building.
It's incorrect. Is any of the Great Pyramids weighs more than the Chrysler Building?
Man.
So close. That individual is going to win.
Disappointing.
Let's see. How about tickets to A Chorus Line? Playing September 20th through November 3rd at the Metropolis Performing Arts Center in Arlington Heights. Includes all the great songs, like What I Did for Love. Do you want to do What I Did for Love, Adam, before we go?
Sure.
It's not the answer. It's actually not the answer I expected. MetropolisArts.com or 847-577-2121. Great job as always.
All right. Thanks, guys. Have a good day.
See you later. That's Adam Hogue.
When you read that, that reminds me of John DeCasse's Metropolis, that song where he just repeated the word over and over again.
Well, sometimes that's all you need in a great play.
That's all you need, right?
Metropolis.
Stand by, special guests still to come, and special stories still to come as well, including what's the hardest thing Kirstie Alley ever had to do? Ever. That's right. Not sleep with John Travolta.
This is the Steve Cochran Show on 720 WGN.
Tuesday Night Baseball on WGN-TV. This week it's Cubs Diamondbacks from Arizona. Tonight, 8:30, WGN-TV Sports.
Kirstie Alley did a movie with John Travolta back in the day called Look Who's Talking.
Yes, classic.
Right? I love that movie.
Where the baby was talking?
Bruce Willis was the baby.
That is good stuff. Yeah, that's a really good.
I'm so tired. I'm so cold. Kirstie Alley at that point was married to an actor named Parker Stevenson.
Remember Parker Stevenson? Yeah.
And was he on the Hardy Boys?
Was he? Yeah, I'm being told yes.
Mm. There you go.
There you go. Oh, nice.
Stump Adam Hogue. Don't stump me.
Pop culture reference.
Kirstie Alley says on a podcast she did this week with someone named Dan Wooten. Who's Dan Wooten? Does everybody have a podcast now?
Yeah.
Everyone on the planet.
I think of Kirstie Alley. Great for that. Must be a good podcast.
Everyone on the planet has a podcast now.
More power to him.
Dan Wooten was talking to Kirstie Alley. And Kirstie Alley said the hardest decision she's ever made. What would you think it would be? Hardest decision ever.
Oh, I don't know.
That's right.
She's known for her weight fluctuation, right?
You mean not having the pie? The hardest decision she ever made?
That's what she's
done. She's a yo-yo dieter. Yeah.
So maybe there's something.
Oh, discussed that.
Turns out the hardest decision she ever made was not sleeping with John Travolta.
Was that on the table? Or is she just looking back, going reflective?
She said they fell in love with each other.
Oh, okay.
And she just couldn't do it. She was married to Parker Stevenson at the time.
Oh, well, that was nice of her to respect her marriage.
Hey, Kirsten, where are you going? Come back. That was my John Travolta.
That sounds like his Fonzie.
Who is that?
I was going to say, no. I was going to say, that's better than your Fonzie.
Where are you going? Come on, let's hang out.
Let me just tell you, this Dan Wooten, he's interviewing the biggest people.
Who's he got?
John Legend, Kanye, awesome. Christy Teigen, Adam Lambert, Kylie Minogue.
I have a bigger question. Like, who the hell's Dan Wooten?
I feel like you need to know who Dan Wooten is.
It says Dan Wooten from The Sun.
Making waves.
It's called the Dan Wooten Interview, revealing emotional and hilarious world-exclusive interviews with the biggest names in entertainment. Hosted by Dan Wooten.
There you go.
From The Sun, as in the London newspaper, The Sun?
I guess so. Yeah. He has that Ryan Seacresty look about him.
Okay.
Hey, Dan, thanks for the question.
Yeah, it's really strong. Really strong. I don't have time for three stories here, but I have time for two. A survey at highspeedinternet.com. That's where Dan Wooten worked right before he got the job at The Sun. What do you think Illinois' online guilty pleasure is for 2018? I don't know why they call this online, because all the answers aren't online. But what do Illinoisans look for most online? I suppose that's what it is.
I'm going to say farmersonly.com.
You know, it's interesting. You're not that far off.
Hmm.
Anyone? Instagram models pictures.
Oh, okay.
Instagram models pictures. We've got a state full of perverts, apparently. Instagram model pictures.
You can do a lot worse than that.
Models aren't all, they're not all, like, scantily clad. There's... Instagram is all people.
I'm
like,
not spending a lot of time on it.
Yeah, I
look at some of those fashion. For the clothing.
Yeah, that's what
clothing ideas.
They put the outfit on and then they say, you can get these jeans at Nordstrom, these shoes. You know, it's a huge
industry.
It's a way I shop.
I'm sure that's it. Wisconsin's filled with hypochondriacs. Their top search is WebMD.
Oh, I never look at that.
And Indiana, they're into the reality TV. Iowans into conspiracy theories.
I believe that. I know some people from Iowa.
Everybody that I saw in a Jay Cutler jersey at the tailgate yesterday, I asked if they were fans of Barry Cavallari.
Were there a lot of Cutler
Did you get a
jerseys?
Yes from anybody?
They were. They all had at least seen a couple episodes. I did get yeses because I was taking pictures of people's jerseys because there's a gallery at WGNradio.com of the tailgates. And so everybody had at least seen him once on Barry Cavallari. And they all agreed that he steals the show. Greatest reality star.
I don't know if I would. At what point do you get your return on your investment on a Cutler jersey? I feel like at this point, you're like, you know what? I've worn it enough.
Yeah, I don't think there is a return at this
point. Like my Eric Kramer jersey.
I have Greg Olson.
Greg Olson, that's a good one.
Love it.
What is Maine's number one online thing? Maine.
Lobster?
Rocks.
Cat videos.
Cat videos. That's good.
And things are a little slow in North Dakota, which is why most North Dakotans spend time on Tinder. Tinder, number one.
Tinder is fun. I like when I have friends that are on Tinder so I can do the swiping.
You know what? Again, where's the time go? It's 9:29. Headlines in a moment at 720 WGN.
Live from the Allstate Skyline Studio.
Steve Cochran on 720 WGN.
I walk in and out of this new studio about 30 times a morning. Why have I never noticed this before? You can't hear the show. in the room outside the studio.
Yeah, you can't.
Oh, you can?
Is there a speaker there?
I don't know if I never have heard the show out there, so I don't know.
We don't want those guys. Like we don't want those guys to hear what we're doing.
Well, I like to hear it in the bathroom, so I know when I have to hurry up. And
you know, it's funny. I was thinking that this morning because I went important. Into the bathroom, and I'm just standing there doing what I'm doing. I'm not hurting anybody.
You're
I'm minding my own
hair.
Business. Fixing my hair. And I thought the same thing, Mary Vandeveld. It's like, well, I can't hear the show. I can't hear my show to know when I got to be back on my show.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes when you're in the bathroom, I read the news a little faster.
In the bathroom?
Because I know you're going to hurry back.
Right. Right. Oh, you mean when you're doing the news.
Kind of
oh,
wrap
I
up
get
faster,
it.
Yeah.
All right. So last night, big, big sports news. And I think you know what I'm talking about. Justin's 16-inch softball team.
Not only that, I want to make this very clear because we haven't had a chance to talk about it. It was a playoff game. Dave, you'll appreciate this. Playoff game where we had a 3-run lead going into the seventh inning. And we're playing the Tribune. And
Wait, go slower. I want the suspense to build.
They scored 3 runs to tie the game. So we went to everyone was a little, you know, it's a playoff game, so everyone's a little freaked out, a little stress. So we come up with our 3, 4, 5 hitters, right? The 3 guy comes up. Bam! Out. Right? Trying to hit a home run to win the game. Second guy comes up. Bam! Out. Trying to hit a home run. Next guy gets on. Who's the 6 hitter? Me.
Right? 2 outs.
2 outs.
One on. What's
first.
The score?
Tie game, bottom of the 7th.
Tie game, last chance day.
So here comes, and in my head, I'm like, I need to think.
Did you limp up there like the old guy you are?
I got a wooden bat. I'm not messing around, mm-hmm. right? I got the stance.
Did the music from The Natural build behind you?
I might have taken a pitch, you mm-hmm. know, just to like set the tone.
Right. Who's on base?
There, John, the captain's on base. Slow runner.
Where is he? Older first guy. Base, second
first
base?
Base? First base.
Okay.
Slow runner, older guy. Did you catch that?
Slow runner, older guy, which means you're going to need more than a gapper to get that guy home.
I decide, you know, my course of action, the place for me to play is the right center, the gap in right center. And that's hard in softball because you got to direct, right? It's not an easy...
Mm. Wait, you said softball.
Yeah, 16
not inch. Not melon ball.
16 inch. Okay. There is no other kind.
So is he taking a lead off
no
first?
Leads.
You can't
no leads.
Until the ball crosses
right.
the plate?
So I go for it, and on cue, right center fly ball that drops into the gap.
So well played out there?
Let's make it clear. It's 16 inch softball. In baseball, it's a lazy fly ball out. Mm-hmm. In 16 inch softball, it's a walk-off home run. Because what happens is they pop it up, and the right fielder goes,
So the ball hits and
it dribbles past the center fielder.
Well, but no, when you tell the story later, you got to make it better.
Yeah,
the right
drive.
Fielder and the center fielder running into each other, trying to make a diving grab.
So John goes around. He's about to score, and here I am coming around third. The place is going crazy. There are other teams waiting. There's probably 75 people, maybe 100. And I get to
the crowd was probably building while John was running from first.
The neighborhood,
because John's slow.
The neighbors,
people
are
started to come out of their houses.
Porch. They're watching, and I got to do the thing where I got to hop on home plate, and the whole team was there to
dog pile
on
wow.
the yeah. Do the thing.
Did you get Gatorade all over?
There was a little bit of Gatorade. The umpire. Who took out his phone and captured it on video.
Stop
that's
it.
How, that's
Come
how
on.
Important this moment
was. How biased
you
is this?
I don't have the video. I don't know the umpire personally, but he was like, this is such a moment. A 16-inch
Stick with that story that
moment.
You don't know the umpire. I think that's good if you stick with that story.
Anyway, he took it. It's just hilarious that the umpire is like, I got to get this on phone. I got to get
so
this.
Next week you're playing a team of ringers?
So now we play the reader, which I don't think there's one person who actually works on the reader. I shouldn't talk. I don't work for Chicago now, but there are players on that team that work for Chicago.
All ringers. Why don't they call them the ringers?
They're the number one team. They're the defending champions.
It's not the Chicago Reader. It's the Chicago Ringers.
I'm a little bit worried about our defense. I'm going to be honest that there's going to be some
You're worried? Look at Dave and I. We're on the edge of our seats.
Sweatmas. So anyway, the best part of the day, I brought Miles with, and he was a hype man. And he was doing the high fives and all that stuff. He was really excited. He wanted a halftime show. That's what he said. He kept asking me on the bench, "Hey, can I do the halftime show?"
Should it be top of the fifth?
I'm like, "There's no halftime show." And then, but I said to him, he said he was the hype man, and I said, "Oh, you're like Flavor Flav." And he goes, "What's a Flavor Flav?"
Oh boy! Well, congratulations on your big win.
Sandberg,
you were probably on the edge of your seat while this was going on. What were you doing last night?
I was at 5 a.m. though this morning when Justin told me that story. He said I had a walk off home run, but it was the least impressive walk off home run you can have in 16 inch softball. And now there was crowds of hundreds.
I got to tell you. Without me adding color to that story would have died.
No way. That was a great story. What I told, but honestly, if anyone knows 16 in softball, a pop-up to the outfield. If it's a regular baseball game, that's just a routine out. In 16-inch softball, nothing is guaranteed.
And if you don't play 16-inch softball, go to Mariano's, get a watermelon, throw it up in the air, and try to catch it.
It's
You'll
the
see
only
what I mean.
Softball. Everything else is poser.
What did you do last night?
I went to a Bears tailgate at Soldier Field.
Yeah.
And we just had a listener text in Pam. She's one of the jerseys I took a picture of, the white Julius Peppers jersey.
Oh.
Peppers is a good one.
Peppers is a great one.
Mm-hmm. It was a Johnny Knox.
Johnny Knox, huh.
Is that all you did last night?
Oh, so one of my pet peeves about my husband, and it runs in his family, but I think it might be a Boyle, a male thing, but the Boyles all do this, is they fall asleep on the couch when they're watching television.
Mm-hmm. Not me, never.
Never. Oh, he's lying. I think if we had Karen on the phone.
It's a dude thing.
It is, and so Patrick has started doing it too, which is really annoying.
Yeah,
like he's now like this is some kind of thing.
Testosterone makes you tired.
Where they say, "Oh no," but that you don't act tired. Oh, I'm not tired. I don't want to go to bed, and they stay awake. But so this morning at 2:45 in the morning, I woke up in the bed, and I'm like, "Damn him, he's not in bed." So I got up and left the room, and I go to the living room, and he's not in the living room.
Uh-oh.
And I'm like, "Well, where is he?" So I check the bathrooms because he's always in the bathroom. And then I come back to the bedroom, and he was in the bed. I never even checked if he was there. I just woke
you
up
just
and assumed. So I was so, like, angry.
So wait a minute, he was in the bed the whole time?
He was in the bed.
So you got out of bed to go look and yell at your husband because he hadn't done something he had done.
I know, and he was actually in bed next to me. So that's
is it any wonder? Is it any wonder you guys make us tired?
Where is he? When I come out to the dark living room, I'm like, he's not here. And then the bathroom, there's no lights on in either bathroom out there. And so I'm like, what's going
on? We're simple. We are simple creatures. Your team makes it way harder than it needs to be.
But this is how I don't get good rest, because this is what I'm stressing about in my head, apparently.
You're mad at your husband for things he's not doing.
Yes,
right.
Exactly, Steve.
Steve, have you had the moment where in the dream you've done something to her or in front of her or about her or near her?
Then you're in trouble.
And she wakes up mad.
I woke up mad. He was in the bed next to me, though, not doing anything wrong.
That's an awesome story.
I cannot believe.
I went charging out there. You know,
I cannot believe he came to bed and ruined your mad.
I know. Because
selfish.
When I looked and I saw it was 2:45, I'm like, he needs to get to bed soon, because otherwise he gets in bed as I'm getting up and it messes up my last few minutes of sleep.
Yeah.
But he was already there. I just didn't even.
So once you realize he's in bed, you go back to bed. Could you fall asleep?
No, because I was kind of like.
You were mad?
I was like frustrated. Yeah.
You were frustrated at yourself?
If he would just come to bed every time, maybe I wouldn't have felt this way.
So you went back in time to be mad at him about the times he had done that before.
Yeah, because you got to play that film.
Right.
I know. Yeah. And I don't even know why it bothers me, because it doesn't affect me.
Yeah.
And it's nothing personal.
Let me tell you something. We don't know why it bothers you either.
Just wait like 20 years, then you'll be happy to have the bed to yourself.
Okay.
Exactly.
Vandeveld wakes up and goes, God, thank God he's still sleeping in the living room.
Oh, man.
It's like, woo, yeah, I get the whole bed.
I love Dave saying he doesn't fall asleep. He always falls asleep.
Well, and here's the thing.
Dave, you fall asleep during the show.
Well,
you're not even on a couch.
No, it's just a couple times a week. But I do fall asleep. When I do, it's the deepest, best sleep I ever get. And then Karen will say, why don't you go up to bed? I said, I'm not sleeping.
That's what I always, right. I watch Pat's eyes and I'll like stare at him and I'm like, your eyes are closing. You know, I'm not that nice about it. It's like, your eyes are closing. We should go to, and he's like, I am not. So,
but you want him to go to bed. Why?
Because
he'll be healthier, or because you think it's a good idea?
Because you have a routine.
I can't fall asleep on the couch and then fall asleep in bed. It doesn't work for me.
So if he comes in, he'll ruin your sleep.
Possibly, but he doesn't really. He honestly doesn't.
Here's what I'm going. Here's where I'm going with this. You want him to do what you want him to do.
Well, I just don't. There's nothing. If you went to a sleep study, they would suggest you all sleep in the bed, falling asleep in front of a TV in the
couch.
You
want him to do what you want him to do when you want him to do it.
Yes, that's probably.
All right, then. I just want to get next witness.
No further questions.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show.
I left out the best part, that
the replay on the video board.
I know, right? I skinned my knee.
Pack yourself a toothbrush.
Oh.
Yeah, and I got a little sore wrist. from a
day to day?
Day to day.
A DL?
I'm okay. I think I got a week to recover.
Do you have one of those ice tubs?
You know, it's so weird. I walked out of the room and I thought we were done talking about melon ball, and I walked back in. We're still
just talking about the injury report.
Upper body, lower body, all body.
Yeah, it's all body. It's a little bit upper, a little bit lower. You said I like to document my injuries, and this was an injury.
Listen, we're all just glad you're alive.
I know, I made it,
and we're also glad that Pat Boyle's alive. Abigail, say hi.
Hi.
That's Abigail Grace. She's visiting today. She actually brought me in. It was show and tell, and she brought in her old grandfather. It's 9:55. Bill and Wendy coming up next. 720 WGN.
This is 720 WGN Chicago.
Bill and Wendy are here, and Wendy, just her day was bright, and you just walked in and saw Abigail.
Oh, my God. Do you see the huge smile on my face?
Yeah. That's all you need.
Hi, Abigail.
She's a cutie.
Abigail Grace is here. She's 2.5 now, and it's getting closer. It's interesting because, like, the curve is starting to work where her age is starting to reach my maturity.
Yeah.
So when we hang out together, we really see eye to eye.
Right, right.
So. I want another baby.
Really? This kicked in for you?
Yeah, a little bit. Yeah. Then Kim Gordon brought her grandbaby yesterday. I want a baby. Bill?
Meanwhile,
me?
New promotion?
Wait a minute.
This, I'm off the clock.
So this show is turned. Wait, that's a cable version of Bill and Wendy?
Yeah.
We're talking about?
Have you not heard the bonus hour, Steve?
What are you guys doing today?
We will solve the controversy of Donald Glover from last night's Emmys. If you don't know what's going on, we'll tell you in a little bit. It's really cool.
So did I dream that?
Steve mentioned it
I must have
earlier,
that.
And we're all like, I don't know what the controversy is.
I can't give away too many details because it's a long story, but it's crazy.
Where are you guys on the proposal?
I loved it. Yeah. I thought it was really good. Wendy, no?
I don't know Wendy. Them. I don't care.
Yeah, we're with you, Wendy.
Dave Ennett's position is it's not your damn show.
But wasn't it great in a room filled with the Hollywood elite, as he was asking the question, you heard several thousand people go, it was genuine that moved them.
There was a human moment in Hollywood. And by the way, that's like an earthquake or a Halley's Comet sighting. All right, we got to go, and I will be back tomorrow because this is where I work.